sing it to him now. Hallelujah. Praise His name this morning. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the service today. I want to welcome everyone this morning, especially our visitors. I want to welcome you. Glad to have you with us today. And, you know, we depend upon Jesus Christ, the main one this morning, to come into our service and bless and just Him to have His way today in this service. So let's just pull this morning that God's Spirit would just abound here this morning. And we could just go away feeling like we've been to church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing that old song this morning. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. Let's sing that. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the nearest and best
last I lay
worship Him now. So I'll cherish Your approach till my truth is at last laid down. I will cling to the rugged rock and exchange someday for a crown. Give Him a good hand clap of praise this morning. Glory to Your name. Hallelujah. Praise Your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Sing one more before we receive the offering or the prayer request this morning. Let's sing that song, I Would Not Be Denied This Morning. Hallelujah. How many feel that way? Amen. Our enemy's going to put all he can on us, but we've got to fight that battle and not be denied this morning. When pangs of death seize o'er my soul, unto You, the Lord, I cry. Till Jesus came and He made me all, I would not be denied. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother John Cotton to come this morning as we take our prayer requests. We want to remember Jackie Whitlock. It's got Poison Oak. We want to remember her this morning. Hope she's not too miserable. I know what that is. We want to remember Brother Ben McCaffrey this morning having some problems with his back. We want to remember Brother Ben this morning. Also, the Sylvesters are away. We want to remember them this morning as they travel. And this one is several requests. Please pray for my brother, Frank Hefner. He has a nerve condition called Guillain-Barré syndrome. He can't walk. He's in a wheelchair most all the time. His legs are getting worse. He keeps falling, needs a miracle, and the Lord. So let's remember Frank Hefner this morning. Also pray for me. I go back to Spine Doctor Tuesday shots. Shots aren't lasting long. Also pray for Jason Watkins' mom and his brother. They are evacuating from South Carolina to come to my home. The hurricane is headed toward them. God bless all of you, Sister Connie. So let's remember these requests this morning as we pray. And you have an unspoken request today. Amen. Let's pray for Brother Smith as he brings a word this morning. God will just have his way in this service.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to come and bring these appeals to you as a body this morning. Lord God, as we just stand here in anticipation of the service, Lord God, this is such an important part of it, where we bring these needs before you, Lord Jesus, the nerve condition, the poison ivy, the situation with the storm approaching the North Carolina coast, Lord God. I pray that you would just keep everyone down there, especially the believers that are near Charleston, South Carolina, and the various areas, Lord God, that if they need to come to safety, that you would bring them out, give them wisdom on what to do. Lord Jesus, we hold up our fellow believers in prayer. Also, all of these requests that have come before us, Lord Jesus, we know that you know better than we each need. You know the reason. You know the result, Lord God, before we even speak it. Lord, place in our hearts, Lord Jesus, a desire to do your will. Lord, we know that we ask whatever we will, Lord Jesus, and believing that you will accomplish it. Lord God, as we turn toward the service, I ask that you just give wisdom and strength to the musicians as they prepare our hearts to receive the word, Lord God, and create a worshipful atmosphere, Lord Jesus, that we might just go into that channel and worship you. Lord God, I pray that you'll just put your hand upon the minister who's preparing, Lord God, in prayer, Lord Jesus, to come out and just bring what you have, through the Holy Spirit, have laid on his heart to minister to each and every one of us. Lord God, we're so excited about the morning service, and Lord, we can't wait to enter into that place with you. All this we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Jesus, shake hands this morning as you're being seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sister Smith's going to sing for us this morning. So she'll just come at this time. While she's coming, I have a couple announcements. The adult choir will practice at 3 o'clock today. Also, Sister R's Sunday school class will meet at 4 o'clock today. So. Can you hear me? Okay. Can you turn me up a little bit? They say they're not hearing me too well. Okay, Zara. Okay, Sister Smith. Sing that song, I'm So Glad Jesus Set Me Free. Amen. Are you glad to be free this morning? Hallelujah. Let's sing it. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. another hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand as our ushers comes this morning. Let's sing that song, He Leadeth Me. Amen. One more announcement that it wasn't wrote down and almost forgot it. Next Saturday is our work day, and we need plenty of help. We've got a lot to do, and if you can possibly come next Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, bring your shovels, rakes, wheelbarrows, and a good strong body. And it's a lot of fun. Amen. Brother Jeff, if you would pray over the offering.
Take somebody's hand close by, and you may be seated this morning. God bless you. Certainly good to have all of you in the house of the Lord this morning. We welcome all of you in the name of the Lord Jesus. It is an honor for us to be able to gather in the presence of the King and the presence of the King's wife and be able to share some time together today. We change up the schedule just a little bit today, and I trust that that'll be all right. I know Brother Dale has been a blessing to our church over many years, and we're going to have him speak this morning, and I'll take the service tonight. But I don't often get to hear him speak here. We work together in different places and in Africa and so forth, and I always enjoy Brother Dale's ministry, always have. And I don't always get to hear him here. So he's going to be ministering tonight up at Brother Lindsay McGrady's, and this morning I asked him to come and take the service here today. We certainly miss Sister Greg, not here today, and we want to continue to hold her up in prayer. And Sister Molly's having a birthday this week on the 12th, which is Wednesday, and we miss her and Sister Mary Ann. We had a nice card from Sister Mary Ann for the flowers and so forth that she received. So we, Brother Wayne, I think, has mentioned that we have our work day next week, and no one would want to miss that. And then our meetings, of course, on the 12th of October, and remember that we do have a Saturday morning service. The schedule is out there, so you might want to mark that so that we'd have that. Good to have the Strayers with us today from Arizona, from Flagstaff. God bless you. Good to have you here today. Brother Michael, God bless you. Good to have you with us today as well. And just each and every one of you, we appreciate you coming today to spend some time with us, and we trust that the Lord will richly bless each and every one of you. We, if you don't mind, let's stand to our feet and let's sing one more little chorus. I worship you, Almighty God. And then we'll invite Brother Dale to come and take the service this morning. I told him, you know, that as a guest minister, he doesn't know a lot that goes on here, especially the personal details of people who are here. So he has a liberty that he can take and say things that I don't have. He's got a liberty that I don't have. But I told him, as pastor, I said, I have a liberty that you don't have. As long as we stay within our boundaries, as long as we stay within the channel, God can use ministries to speak to our hearts. So you have an opportunity this morning to pull on the gift and just say, Lord, speak to my heart. And, you know, we have all have unique situations. We all have unique circumstances that we deal with. So we just trust that the Lord will speak to your heart today. But don't fail to operate your part of the gift and your part of the program here today, because you're a very important part of that. Let's sing this morning, I Worship You, Almighty God, and let's just invite Brother Dale to come this morning. I worship you. There is time now.
none like you, Father. Oh, we worship you, Lord, because you're worthy. Lord, we're just the finite, Lord, but you're the infinite. So, Lord, we lift your hand. We lift your name on high, oh God. We give you all the praise and the glory. Father, we just want to just say praise God and hallelujah to the Lamb. He is worthy to take the book and to loose the seals thereof. Lord, you're the holy God. Oh, the mighty one, the mighty conqueror. We love you, Lord, and we praise you today. We ask you to take the word, Lord, that we so careful, Lord, to try to put our thoughts in an order, Lord, that would be scriptural, Lord, that wouldn't have any of our own thinking, Lord, but it would be just word upon word, line upon line, precept upon precept, Lord, that every jot and every tittle would be, Father, according to your word, Lord, that we wouldn't, Lord, that we wouldn't move presumptuously, but Lord, if we would know that we were right, then we would have all authority of the heaven standing behind us. Oh God, to bind every demon power, Lord, that we could lay hands upon the sick and cast out devils. Lord, that we would have such an authority of the word. Lord, we realize that we're powerless. Lord, we have no power. But, oh God, if we're standing on the truth, Lord, that one man in the right is a majority, oh God. And we're standing on the word today, Lord. We pray that you help us, that you bless us, Lord, and heal us, Lord. We love you. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Greet you all in that all-sufficient name of the Lord Jesus. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to Leviticus chapter 17. And as we're getting there, so glad to see our dear friends, Brother Alan Strayer, Sister Susan. We just have to, we go back a long ways, and we were there when Sister Susan was in school with my wife, and me and Brother Alan, we got to be good friends right immediately after I proposed to my wife. I was half the guy I am now. And I don't know how Brother Alan done it. He stayed slim and trim, but Brother John swole up. Got all big. So we're going to have to renew some of our vows because half of me my wife ain't married to. So we're going to have to remedy that, but maybe. We greet you all from the Saints down Beaufort, and Brother Jason, all the folks there, and just really having a good time being back on the East Coast for a little while and seeing all my grandkids and everything. So it's been good having a good visit. But my wife got a brainstorm. We ought to take out a bunch of trees in my front yard. And so I've been working like a redheaded stepchild. I don't think I've sweated that much in, I don't know, maybe one lifetime. That was awful. But thank the Lord we're getting the work done. In Leviticus chapter 17, there we want to title our message for this morning. We sure appreciate Brother Barry to have us come by this way. It's always a blessing and a privilege to stand before the elect of God. Amen. And so we're in chapter 17 of Leviticus, just one portion of the word here. We want to read verse 11, 17 and 11. He's speaking concerning the blood and offering of things strangled and things. But
Here in verse 11, he makes a statement, and from here we want to draw context. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. May the Lord bless the reading of the word as you make yourselves comfortable this morning. We're wanting to title the message this morning, Today's Blood. Today's Blood. And we're taking that angle because of the way that we see how that the message has unfolded and how that Brother Branham takes the message and shows us how that there was a season that there was a blood of bulls and goats, but how that administration then changed at a certain time. And we'll begin to show these things. But we want to show that this is not something that just is unique to our day, but that it is a system. And it is it's also very, Brother Bam uses the word dovetails. It dovetails through the whole Bible. And so we want to just maybe just for a lesson this morning to go through some verses of Scripture. If you have your Bible still handy there, we'll make a few references. I want to go over into 1 John, and there I want to be in the first chapter just to set a bit of a stage here in 1 John chapter 1, and then we will read verse 7. He said, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light. And so we realize that in verse 5 there it says that God is light. And so we realize that here in verse 7 he's still talking about the same person, that God is light. And so, but if we walk in God, if we walk in the light of God, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so now we have a picture that we're drawing here with the Bible that says that there's a light that is shining. We realize that light that is shining is gospel light. Is that right? And we find that the author of this light is the Father of lights, and whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning, the Bible tells us. And so if He's the Father of lights, then that makes us the children of light. Is that right? So we are light also. The Bible tells us that you are the light of the world. Now, but we realize that this word that it's using here for light speaks of unveiling or of revelation. So that when light shines upon something in a dark place, then everything that was once hidden by the darkness is now unveiled or is revealed by light. So in order for us to have fellowship with God, that we have to walk in the light of God. And so as we walk in the light of God, then He reveals to us His plan or His program, His Word. Brother Bam tells us that the Word is God's will or His revealed will, as it were. And so, but he goes on to say here that when we walk in this light, that we have fellowship one with another. Now, remember, he's talking about this light that is that He is in the light. So this He that's in the light is who we're going to have fellowship with first. Now, many times it's translated that we have fellowship one with another, me with you. Well, that's secondary to the fellowship that we have with God. Because if we don't have fellowship with our vertical fellowship or our vertical relationship has to be in place in order for us to really have fellowship on a horizontal level, because if we're the Bible says that how can two walk together unless they be agreed? If we're not, so we first have to be in agreement with the Word. Is that right? We have to agree with the Word. Hallelujah. And once we agree with the Word and we walk in fellowship with the Word, then we can have fellowship one with another. And then there's a conjunction word there that says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So there's no way to have cleansing by the blood unless you're in fellowship with the Word. Because the Word, oh, now watch this, here's the Word. The Word became flesh, is that right? And dwelt among us. Now, there was a life that was in that flesh that dwelt among us that was called blood, is that right? And so this blood was in the flesh, but then there was a spirit that was inside of that blood. And so that the spirit actually gave life to the blood, and the blood gave life to the flesh, who was the manifestation of the Word. Oh my, so when we see that we're walking in light, we're walking in the Word, and then the life of that Word, amen, is the Spirit of God that comes back upon the believer for receiving what God has said. Oh, when He speaks to you, friend, and you agree with the Word, then that puts the blood, amen, in an application to your life. Now, we realize here that over in Exodus chapter 12, it tells us there, if you want to turn, we can read there in Exodus chapter 12. And it starts at verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment, for I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token. Is that right? Upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So now God has set a precedent in the Scripture that there had to be an application of the blood in the individual house. And we realize that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Is that right? And so now, as temples of the Holy Ghost, that there has to be, we're a house, and so therefore there has to be an application of the blood for today. Now we understand in that day, they killed a physical lamb and they took a physical hyssop and they put the physical blood over a physical doorpost. Is that right? But we realize that the prophet came in our day and tells us that there is a, that the physical blood that drained out of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that that blood went back to the elements. But when that blood cell broke, it released the Spirit of God, and that Spirit went back to God. But on the day of Pentecost, when the word that had been spoken for that day was, Peter said, "This is that which was spoken." They were waiting on the promise of the Father. And they waited on the promise of the Father, which was to fulfill the word spoken by the prophet Joel. When that word lined up in the stars, as it were, and the people were in their place, they were all in one mind and in one accord, and the word was fulfilled, then the very life that was in that word, that Spirit of God came down and baptized 120 souls. Oh, let me tell you, the blood then had been applied to their lives. God, now then God was recognizing their faith, their obedience to the Scripture, and because of their obedience to what God had said, that God now fulfills His word, and the blood was applied. And so that they, now they walked out with the token on display. They were displaying the token. What was spoken for their day was now being displayed. And because it was displayed, then death bypassed them. But death fell upon the rest because they had crucified the Lord of glory. And they said, "Let His blood be upon us and upon our children." Oh, and so then God held them to their word, and his death began to rain upon Israel. Amen. All the way down to the time of Titus. And so now then what was happening? That God slayed the people by the multitudes. Why? Because they rejected their visitation. They rejected the voice of the sign. Hallelujah. In the days of Moses, he said, I'll give you two signs. And it's two signs. One, a sign of the serpent and then a sign in the hand. And the Bible says, and if they don't receive the voice of the first sign, they will receive the voice of the second sign. And if they don't receive that sign, then make blood come out of the, turn the waters of Egypt into blood. Is that right? So when this happens, Brother Branham tells us, they rejected the first sign. They rejected the second sign. So the third sign was the blood. The water became blood. He said this showed that the blood of that nation was already poured out. But yet there were still many plagues that came. There was still a time process that had to unfold before the Passover night came. And so there was a destruction that came upon the land. But God had already prophesied by the blood being turned, the water being turned to blood was already a sign that judgment had already been declared upon the nation. We get to a quote here in a minute. So here this destruction was already upon them because they had rejected the blood that was made for an atonement. And so Egypt didn't apply the blood. Many in the land did not apply the blood. They did not hear the voice of the sign. And therefore, there was dead in every house in all of Egypt. From their animals all the way to the firstborn in the house of Pharaoh. The Bible says that there was dead in every house. Why? Because they rejected the voice of the sign, which we realize that voice was the light that was shining to them. That if they would hear the voice, then light would be given to them, and the revelation would have been there. They would have went and applied the physical blood to a physical door, and their physical offsprings would have been spared. Oh my. So if God would be so sure to do that in a physical application under a natural people, under a first Exodus, and then he would also come and he would manifest the same thing by shedding his own blood, by giving them a voice of a sign and tell them and to prepare them, and that they would go and that they would receive the word for their day, to hear the gospel of their day. And when they rejected that gospel, then a blood was spilled again in Israel under a second Exodus. If God was so sure to do those things under the first and second Exodus, how much more sure are we here today? We have received even a more sure word of prophecy that he will do the same thing in this day when the token has been made available to the world and they reject the voice of the sign that was given to them under the seventh church age. So we realize then that blood will be spilled also. Now, from the message, adoption, Brother Bam says, no wonder when the morning stars sang together, the sons of God shouted for joy. Watch, when they seen the plan of salvation, God putting your name on the book before the foundation of the world. Now then remember that book was called the Lamb's Book. Is that right? And so why was it called the Lamb's Book? Because the Bible says that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. So there was in the mind of God, there was a supernatural a type that would be fulfilled in an antitype through Christ, but then it would have a spiritual application that would come all the way down to the very end of the consummation of all things. So it actually, our salvation didn't start 2,000 years ago, amen, on Calvary in Jerusalem, but our salvation was secured before the foundation of the world, and your name was put on a book then. Oh, think about it, friends. So we find that even in the days when Adam and Eve, when they had fallen, and that they tried to clothe themselves, and so we realize then that their clothing and that their covering was inadequate. We find that even the Bible tells us that God created. And when God created, he took from nothing and made something. But the Bible says that Adam, who was a son of God, who was an amateur God, had dominion over the earth, had that same ability, that same power, that same authority, that he could have spoken and created himself some garments. But the Bible says that he made himself some aprons. In other words, it uses a word there, made, which is where we get the word manufacture. He went into the textile business. He went into the clothing business and started making clothes, amen, out of textile. Amen. And so no doubt he had made himself a clothing. He had made himself an apron because he realized that once they had partaken of the fruit, that once he had eaten, that now when God had told him not to eat, and the Bible says, and they were naked, and they were not ashamed. So as long as they didn't eat, they weren't ashamed. But then the serpent misappropriated or misconstrued, misaligned, misinterpreted one word. He just moved a little three-letter word, not. And God said not to eat, and he said, you'll not die. And he just misappropriated one little word, upset the whole program of God. And so now as soon as they did eat, watch, the Bible says, and they were naked and they were afraid. So it totally upset the whole program of God. So now then, when man would now realize his condition and he would go and bypass his God-given ability to create, and now he would go to the tree of knowledge that he had partaken of and begin to manufacture something. And so as he got done with his manufacturing and he got his wife all dressed, and she was no doubt, she was a byproduct of a son of God. So no doubt he tried to cover her completely. He didn't leave it wasn't skin tight fig leaves. Hello. There wasn't a bunch of skin revealed in these fig leaves. They was going to be real holiness people and cover up everything. And no doubt that Adam had full length fig leaf trousers. Wasn't running around no shorts. Just in case you're wondering. He was the son of God. And they were he wasn't, didn't have his fig leaf all unbuttoned in the front, show off his hairy chest and all of his physical perfection. No, but he was a son of God. He covered himself up. But regardless of how much covering that they put on themselves in this manufactured way, that when the voice of God, oh church, are you with me this morning? When God, the voice of God been walking in the garden, they realized that all their human efforts, amen, were frivolous, that they were moved, that they didn't have any value whatsoever. And the Bible says that though they were covered, though they had their fig leaves on, though they had tried to do the best they could to cover their nakedness, they were still exposed before the sight and by the vision of Almighty God. So they hid themselves. And so we realize from that very onset of the first family that it required a blood, but not a blood that they could provide for themselves, but it had to be a God provided blood. God provided a blood. And so now this blood, now what? The next generation comes down. You have two brothers. Now, these two brothers are half brothers. And we realize that Cain goes and goes back to the tree of knowledge. And he does exactly what his parents did. And he offers of the fruits of the field. Vegetables and flowers and botany life. And when God saw his sacrifice, as sincere as it was, as beautiful as it was, as religious as it was, yet God said, I don't have any respect for it because it's something that you have concocted in your mind. But he said, but if you do like your brother, now if the brother was over here, had set up some stones, was very religious, but he took a firstling of his flock. Now, you say, well, but God didn't provide that lamb. I want you to see how that God did provide the lamb, because Abel didn't go there just out of the, you know, his own intelligence and say, oh, you know, this lamb right here, I think I'll take it, I'll kill it, and I'll give it to God. No, because Brother Branham tells us that Abel was operating from a revelation. And the Bible, Paul preached the same thing in Hebrews 11, and the Bible says that Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice, amen, by faith. And so his faith was his revelation, and so it was a revealed will of God to operate and to offer that sacrifice and to shed blood. Because it was a precedent that God had established in the Word forever and all time, that it would take the life of an innocent one, and the life was in the blood, and the blood was given for an atonement for your soul. Amen. Oh, think about it, church. Amen. If God was the same yesterday, today, and forever, then if it was blood then, it was blood in the days of Christ, it was blood down through the church ages, and it's blood tonight, friends. Hallelujah. Brother Brown tells us that Moses could speak flies into existence. Creative power. We're talking about where there was no fly. He could speak. Brother Brown said in a few minutes there was an old green fly buzzing around. He said an hour later, he said there was 10 pounds per square yard. That's a lot of flies. And so if that be the case, and he tells us that under the strength of the blood of bulls and goats, that Moses could speak and use creative power. Think about it. Under creative power, use creative power under the blood of bulls and goats. And then he tells us how much more could a man, watch what he says, how much more could a man under the blood of Jesus Christ confess his sins? And his sins would then be put under the bleach of God's own blood. And that blood of Jesus Christ would carry, that God would use the same creative power to annihilate sin. Because remember, matter cannot be destroyed. So our sins and our matter and our bodies and all these things, they can't be annihilated. They can change form. We can go back to ashes and dust, but it'll come back into elements and chemicals and what more, and it'll come right back again if time would permit. But we realize, but when God is going to deal with sin, that he's actually using the blood that was shed before the foundation of the world. And he knew that that blood would have the power that once it materialized in the earth and on that day of Calvary, that blood that was spilled, that the Holy Spirit that would come from that blood would have the same creative power that spoke a universe into existence. And that same Logos is here this morning, friends, moving in our church, moving up and down the aisles, that if you have sin question, if you have sickness question, if you have any question to present to God, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will quicken your mortal body. It will annihilate sin. It will take it back to its elements and beyond into its gases and beyond all the way to where it doesn't exist at all. And so much that God Himself can't even remember it. When David was bringing the word back into Jerusalem, we find that he operated under human inspiration. And when he did, a man lost his life. Because they were going by human intelligence from that tree of knowledge. They had invented a wheel. This seemed like a more cost efficient way we could get, you know, an ox. You know, these men could just walk alongside and they wouldn't have to carry that word over their heart. They could just carry it in their iPad or something like that. They wouldn't have to labor over it and sweat and toil and work it out with their salvation with fear and trembling. They wouldn't have to do that. So they just, you know, had it so they could just, you know, just carry it alongside. But when that thing rocked and tipped and it wasn't in their heart like it's supposed to be, and so then they had to try to catch it and try to do damage control, and it cost a man his life. And so David had to stop the whole program and had to get everything, and they put the ark at the threshing floor there, and they had to wait and they had to get prayed through, and he had to go and had to consult the prophet. And you know, that's always a good thing to do if something goes wrong. It's better to consult it first. But if something goes wrong, consult the prophet. I refer to the tape. Amen. And so they go back and they get everything in order, and now they're going to do it the right way. So the priests pick up the ark and they're moving forward, and they only make a few steps. And David stops them and said, "Now we're going to offer sacrifice." And so then they offered sacrifice and they picked it up and they made a few more steps. Said, "Now we're going to offer some more." And so as they're doing this, David now is reduced and no doubt we've preached on these things before, but there was a time that the Bible says, and that David, that he danced naked before the ark. Now, I don't believe that he was in his birthday suit. I don't believe that. But I do believe that he was undressed. That in other words, remember Brother Bam, he talks about these women, you know, running around out here all naked on the street. Well, they wasn't naked on the street. They was in, you know, bikinis and, you know, mini skirts and all these kind of things, and all their flesh exposed and everything. And Brother Bam called that naked. And that's the emphasis of the Bible. And so much that what we realize here that David, when he danced before the ark, that what they wore was an underneath clothes. Now, everybody wore the same kind of underneath clothes. It was like a little tunic, like a little nightgown kind of thing. And that's what they wore under their clothes, because it was a linen cloth. And because it was easy on the skin. And then they wore woolen clothing over the top of that. And so they were not really like mixing your linens and your woolens, but it was a soft clothing underneath. And then a more abrasive, more wearable on the outside. But only the adults wore that. The little guys, they just run around in their little nightgown kind of thing. Because it was expensive to buy clothes. And so the little kids didn't wear outer garments. They just wore the underneath clothes. And so what we find here was David, But in order for him to legitimately feel in his heart that he was correct, that he had to take off his crown and lay it aside. Because he was going to be dancing before the king. He wasn't going to take no authority. He was going to take off his outer garments. He was going to reduce himself down to nakedness, down to exposed, down to a little child level. Because now once he got to that place, then he knew that he could dance before the Lord, and that it would be a humiliation to him, but it would be an exaltation unto God. And so that's why the Bible says that unless we come unto God as a child. So if we come with our fancy suits and our high-dollar cars and all these kind of things and our big expensive churches and think, oh, well, we're something. Oh, friends, that's when you're nothing. Oh, if we can reduce ourselves down, then we can, and then let that blood be applied, and every step that we take, may it be taken with blood. Oh, my. And he danced. Why? Because the word was being restored back to its rightful position. Brother Brown tells us, he said, why did they say all men should worship at Jerusalem? For there's only one place that God will fellowship with man. Now we're going back to our first John scripture there, tying the Old and the New Testament together, that there's only one place that God will fellowship with man, is if he walks in the light. Is that right? But Brother Bam tells us here, he says, and that is under the blood of the sacrifice. That's the reason they had to come to Jerusalem. So now that Jerusalem was the capital, it was the centerpiece of a Jewish religion. And it was there the temple was. It was there that they offered sacrifice. It was there that the Ark of the Covenant was. And so this was the place that God had identified and chose and put his name there. And so once his name was there, now he said you couldn't worship at any gate. You couldn't come in at just any gate. There was a certain gate that you had to come through. And that's why Jesus, when he made his triumphant entry, he come through that eastern gate and he's riding through there and they're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. Why? Because the Lamb was now on the grounds. Hallelujah. Now, God will never meet with man nowhere else but under the blood. And when you turn the blood down, then your meeting place with God has been taken away. Brother Bram, I was reading this morning that Brother Bram said that it's how you treat your propitiation. Think about that. It's the way that you treat the propitiation. If the propitiation, which we realize the word that Paul uses in the Bible of propitiation, that it actually is a word that is a Greek word that is a replacement for the word in the Old Testament that means mercy seat. And so now then this propitiation or this mercy seat, this Ark of the Covenant, this place that God would choose to put his name there, it's how do you treat that? How are you treating it? You say, well, we don't have that. But you have the word, the revealed word of this day. And so, how do you treat the revealed word of this day? So you say, well, oh, we come to a message church. Oh, we listen to Brother Branham on the tape. We drive down the road, listen to Brother Branham. But yet you still, amen, can't keep your nose out of the internet. You still have all kinds of Hollywood and all this other kind of stuff that we carry around with. We still have attitudes. We still tell lies. We still avoid scriptural principles in our life. And when we avoid these things, you say, but I believe the message. The devil believes the message. You see, so now you're walking, but not in light. You're not walking in light. As long as when you deviate from the word of God, you're not walking in light. And now you're mis, handling, misappropriating, just like Eve did at the beginning. And so when you misappropriate the word, then you mishandle or you abuse your propitiation, and then you've made the blood of the covenant an unholy thing. Because why? You are to take the Lord's Supper. Why? Because it represents the New Testament in my blood. So now then, look, there was conditions for the Lord's Supper. Is that right? If you didn't take the Lord's Supper, then you separate yourself from any benefit of the blood. All right? That's step one. If you're living untrue to God and you take the Lord's Supper, then you drink damnation to yourself. So here's two folds of it that we can't really justify in our own lives. I don't want to not take it, and I don't want to take it unworthily. But if I take it worthily, then I have fellowship with God, and the Bible says that there's healing in the cup. So now I get every spiritual benefit by walking in the light, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, and that cleansing also is the price paid for your healing, for your deliverance, for anything that you have need of. Oh my. God made his first decision in the Garden of Eden. The man would only worship him under the shed blood of the sacrifice. That's the only place that God met with man then. That's the only place that God ever did meet with man. And that's the only place that he meets with man today. So that's why I title it Today's Blood. There's a blood for today. Now then, we'll begin to see something a little bit more clear. When we look at the message, or when we look at the Bible from a denominational viewpoint, we come up with a denominational conclusion. And so the denominational conclusion will say, well, if you're predestinated, then there's no use to be evangelical, good old Presbyterian. And so now then you're an extreme Calvinist. And so once saved, always saved, live like the devil. You see, that doesn't line up with the rest of the scripture, which is over on the Arminian side, that said that if you have faith without works, then your faith is dead. And so there had to be a reconciliation of the two. Brother Ben said that's where we are, in the middle. And so he said, so there's only one place that you can meet with God, and that's under the revealed word of the hour. Now, if we look at the word through a denominational viewpoint, then we come up with a denominational conclusion. And so we end up somewhere in the church age somewhere. Church ages, let's say it that way. You're lost out here, and the light moved on from Luther's teaching, and the light moved on into Wesley, but then Wesley, they went to their methodology and to where that it was you were saved by the works. And so now that as long as you lived holy and walked holy and were shouting Methodists or Shakers or whatever, you know, wear your hat just right and your sleeves just right and no jewelry and all these kind of things, and that was then you were saved under sanctification, but there was no life there. And so then they went over into the Pentecostal anointing under Laodicea, and then all you had to do was speak in tongues or prophesy, but then it come down to the end that your Holy Ghost based on who was listening. Are you with me? So, you know, if you're down there and all of a sudden you got some stammering lips, well, you know, you got somebody that's kind of had a little bit of grace to them. Well, that's good enough. And so you got it. I got some stammering lips one time and I got it. No, that's not us. No, because then they walked away from their stammering lips and went out and got drunk. Or this one over here would speak in a full-blown tongue and, oh my, they're just, you know, like peas dropping on a dry cowhide. They're just out here, blah, 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 and there they are. And then so then, oh, well, that's a real tongue. They got it. And then go have a cussing fit with their wife before they got home. So, you know, Brother Bevan said, so that was no sign. That was just an experience. He said, away with experiences for a measuring line. We can't measure our salvation based on some experience. We have to come back to the Word. Now, we believe in experiences. We believe in emotion. It's got to be there. If there's no emotion, then your dead ought to be buried. Oh, my. But there was a blood. And there was a life in that blood. And we've got to have the life that was in that blood. Now, what will it produce? It'll produce the same thing in you that it produced in Jesus Christ. It'll produce a self-sacrifice life. It'll produce a man full of love. It'll be a man that is full of grace. It'll be a people that are sensitive. And he said, for lo, in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. If it was written about him, it had to be written about you too. Hallelujah. So then we become the written epistles. In other words, we become the manifested word. Is that right? So he'll meet with you under one condition, that's under shed blood. When your sins has been confessed and expelled in his presence. So When you confess your sins, then there has to be an expulsion or an expunging of those sins. Is that right? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Do we go on living like we always did because the grace covers us? No, it shows that grace was never applied. Because once you've received grace, oh, my friends, you would never go back to the old rudiments of the world. You would never go back. Once being set free, you would never want to go put a slave belt back on. No, you would want to get as far away from that as possible. Now then, so does that mean that we don't sin? Well, if we say that we don't sin, then we make God a liar. But the Bible says that he that is born of God cannot sin. Why? Because his seed. Oh my. Because now you're born of God. When you're born of God, Peter said that we've been begotten again. Hallelujah. Not by corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, by the Word of God. We've received a birthing of the Word. And you realize that I was always with God from the foundation of the world. I just didn't get saved at an altar in a church. Those things mean something. There's a timeline involved here. We're time creatures. But it's just a place of recognition. A place of realization that I was in his mind all the time. And when he died on Calvary, I was there. I was on his mind. When he spread his hands, he said, I love you this much. Amen. The old cliches and things, we have all these old sayings, but they mean something to you now. The Bible says that neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered into once the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Future home, Brother Bam says, the Sabbath speaks of the old law, which was to pass away. Paul said, not because it was bad, but the law is holy and it's good. But there was a changing of administration. It was a moving away from the ordinances and of calves and bulls. But it was moving to the keeping of a Sabbath which passed away, or I have said changed to another. It didn't pass away. It just changed from the old law of keeping a certain day of the week. And so now that Paul picks this up in Romans 3, which we quoted, for God hath set forth to be a propitiation. So this mercy seat that was now at one time behind the veil in the holy place of a physical building, once the veil was torn, then what did it do? But now it exposes, light begins to shine, that it's not on that place anymore because the Lamb was on the seat. And so the Lamb was over here at Calvary and being suffering the reproach without the camp so that the Scripture might be fulfilled. He fulfilled everything that had to do with every type of the Bible, of the ordinances and of the sacrifices, and the God's provided way to expel sin from the believer. Jesus satisfied everything that the Word said about Him. So He set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Indictment message. Now, Christ is God's provided Lamb. Notice how appropriate it was now showing that Jerusalem was ceasing. When it was in effect until that hour. So we could show that the Judeo form of worship and God's provided sacrifice was in effect until that very moment that they crucified Christ. And that very moment when he gave up the ghost, we could say that at that very, very instant, that God had changed administration, and that no longer under the blood of bulls and goats was God going to be satisfied. But it was only going to, the only thing that would satisfy God's wrath would be the blood of His dear Son. Now watch. The blood of the Lamb was all right until that day. Now that's important that you get that. There wasn't no lap over. There was no time. Well, we're still under blood and bulls and goats. Yeah, we know Jesus died, but you know we're still over here, and we got all these cows over here that we got to slaughter. And we've paid good money for these, and so we got to slaughter for all these calves and these bulls and these goats and these sheep and everything. And we're going to just keep offering these things. We know Jesus died, but we're going to keep offering these things until it kind of runs out, you see, so we get our money's worth. No, that stopped. That day on Calvary stopped. Turned the page. Things change. That's important that you understand that. Because he says it was all right until that day. But now, at the crucifixion, it changes. The old system is done, and there was a new one. The lamb was at the sacrifice. The lamb, the sacrificial lamb, was on the grounds, and they were condemning and doing the very thing that they had to do. That's right. And so here he was. Now remember that a prophet, everything a prophet does has meaning. We may not know the meaning until we get to the other side, but that has meaning. And when Moses is there with the children of Israel, the Bible tells us, and that rock that was in the wilderness was Christ. Is that right? And so then God told Moses, go to the rock and smite the rock. And when he smote the rock, it brought forth water. Is that right? And so we find that smitten rock, which spoke of the first crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. Now then, we understand then that it would come another time that they needed water again. Now then, at that time, the Lord spoke to Moses and said, speak to the rock. But Moses got upset with the people, and when he got upset with the people, he smote the rock a second time. Now, God did not, I believe that Moses was forgiven for that, but there was a price that had to be paid for that. And so Moses didn't get to enter into the promised land, and we know the story there. But his actions had a reason, had a purpose, just like when Elisha spoke and cursed those 42 children. Rebbe said he just got in his, he was getting in his spirit, and so his spirit got upset, and so there was a result that took place. Even though he was a prophet, probably wasn't the right thing to do, but nevertheless, it was 42, which speaks of judgment. And so when Moses smote the rock a second time, it set a precedent. It set something in motion. Even though Christ was going to be crucified the first time, and when he did the administration from the Paschal Lamb to Christ, to the Son of God, to the church ages, the administration changed. At that day on Calvary, it was over. Only through the blood of Jesus could man find atonement for his soul. But then we come down to the end of the seventh church age. And here we're at the end time. And man, what did they do? But they turned their back on God again. They went back to their denominational systems. And a prophet now comes on the scene, likened unto Moses with sign in his hand. Two signs was given unto Brother Branham, like Moses was. And so what happened now again at the end time? What are we finding? But now, oh friend, if you're with me, that Brother Bram steps to the pulpit and he said, here in a time, he said, I've got a message that I want to preach about there. They crucified him. And he announced it before it happened. And he was pointing to a day, to a time. He didn't know when it was going to happen, but he knew it was coming. Oh, hallelujah. And then one day, Brother Ram comes to the pulpit. He said, I've been waiting a long time. He said, to preach this. He said, but now, he said, I believe it's the time. And he says, I'm going to preach a message to you. He said, I'm going to indict the generation for the second crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to have a trial. He said, and I'm going to be the prosecuting attorney. Think about it, church, that a prosecuting attorney stepped to the pulpit and indicted the generation for the second crucifixion to fulfill the second smiting of Moses' smiting of the rock. And a prophet indicted the generation for crucifying the Lord afresh. Oh, my. But you said, remember, Brother Bam said it was at the crucifixion. He said it was in effect until that day. He said then the crucifixion changed it. And so now in our day, that's why I'm preaching today's blood. Because they had a blood down through the church ages that they would believe on to the Son of God. They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That was word and they believed it and it was applicable. But when they rejected the word, now the administration changes, Brother Ben said, when those denominational churches and those denominational systems have been condemned, he said, then it'll be word and word only. And that's just happened recently. Right in the indictment message. And then you turn the page and he says, and I condemn those denominational systems. And so there we can say from that day, there was a blood that was available. But it's not available to the world. It's only available under the revealed light of the hour that you live in it. When you walk in the light, as He is in the light, then you have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. He said they'll say, Jesus, 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 but they don't get anything. Now then, Christianity has to display its token, see, publicly in public life, at the office, on the street, when trouble is around, anything in the church. Everywhere else, the blood is the token and the token must be applied, or even the covenant is not in effect. You see, so there's only one token available at the end, and that's a word. A bleeding word. Brother Bram said it's a bleeding word. Now watch this. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. Brother Bram tells us, speaking of the blood, he's speaking of Christ, he's speaking of the Holy Ghost. He said, and the church, the bride, is the blood by the Spirit. So now then there's a blood. What is today's blood? Today's blood is the bleeding word that's carried in the hearts of God's believing children. You're not an atonement for anybody, but the things that you say will make atonement for somebody. If they can hear, if they can have fellowship with the word that you speak to them, if you can reveal, if you can show them the message of this day, if you can show them the gospel, and they see the gospel and they can believe it, they can repent and they can be saved, and they can come to the very light that you are, and then they themselves can be a light to the world and be a blood to the world. But you see, they can quote. I was just listening. I think I got it twice. Brother Barry sent it to me, and another brother sent it to me. This woman, and she's standing there, and she emphatically believes, is testifying, and is expounding on the life of William Branham. That he was a man sent from God. Got all of her information right out of Orrin Jorgensen's blue books. It's the same place we get our information. She was emphatic. She was telling the story so zealously. I mean, a fool, though a wayfaring man, would not err therein. But standing there in a pair of breeches, her hair cut off and painting her face. Now, that she was telling about the messenger, but she knows nothing of the message. And everybody can tell you about the messenger. They commercialize him. Yeah, whole organizations within the message that are commercializing Brother Branham. They're commercializing everything about him. Belt buckles and all these other kind of stuff. Pocket knives and whatever more. Commercializing the things around Brother Branham. But they know not the message. If they knew the message, it would change their lives. If she really believed who Brother Branham was, that woman would not have even been standing in that pulpit. I'll come to a place to stop here. God takes the old man, burns him out. Burns him completely out with the Holy Ghost in fire, and comes himself, sends down your representation. No man can come to me except the Father has drawn him. And all that the Father has given me will come to me, you see. The same plan, the same way. Now watch. This is what the blood does for you. This is what the Holy Ghost does. This is what our blood does for us today. He says, Satan was and will be taken from the earth. All right? So we realize by Bible teaching that there will come a day when Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. And we'll have no tempter then. Amen. Oh my. We realize that at the end of 1,000 years that he'll be loose for a season. There will be a gathering. Where they come from, I'm not exactly sure. I just know whose side I'm going to be on. And there's going to be another battle. It's called Gog and Magog by eschatologists and all these prophecy people. Brother Bram called it that. There's going to be a battle, and at the end of that battle, there's going to come a white throne of judgment. And we realize that Satan and his imps and his false prophet and all those that do wickedly and hurt and destroy and all these ones that were on his side and the goats will be separated out and they'll all be cast in the lake of fire. That's right. That's what the Bible teaches. But he says that Satan will be taken from the earth just exactly like Satan was taken from you. Satan cannot bother. Oh, he can tempt. But it cannot get a born-again Christian, for God from the foundation of the world foresaw him and sent Jesus to redeem him, and the blood speaks for him. How can he sin when it can't be seen even by God? The only thing that he hears is your voice. He sees your representation. That is true. Amen. Oh, the Bible says that the blood speaketh better things. Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, think about it. Oh, that when that life of that blood comes down upon the believer, Satan can tempt you, he can bother you, he can buffet you, but he can never have you. He can never, ever, he can afflict you with sin and sickness and all these kind of things, but it's just on the outside realm. Why? Because the seed of God remaineth in you. And now that blood is speaking for you. That blood is speaking here this morning. And so when Satan would come and he would, oh my, as our musicians return. When Satan would come and sin would buffet, he would begin to say, you've sinned, there's no use to pray. Anybody ever had the devil tell you that? You messed up. You shouldn't have done it. You've done it before, and now you've done it again, and he forgave you the last time, but he'll never forgive you this time. You've sinned. There's no use to pray. The devil will tell you that over and over to keep you from praying. Oh, remember Brother Bram was there. He was looking at his wife. He put his little his daughter over in the arms of his wife. And, you know, and the devil's standing there. And his daughter was dying. And the devil come to him and said, that cloud came down. And said, he said, you know, he couldn't tell me he wasn't real. He couldn't tell me that he wasn't a healer. He said, I've done seen all that. He said, that's too late for that. He said, but he told me that he didn't care for me. He said, I was about to give in. I was about to say, but then something welled up from inside of my soul. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, why? How can it happen? He said, it wasn't me. But it was something on the inside. Oh, church. Amen. When sin and sadness whisper, you've sinned. There's no use to pray. I look away to Jesus. And he tells me to say, I see a crimson stream of blood. I see it. How do I see it? Because I'm walking in the Word. And the light is shining on my pathway. The lamp is shining to my feet. And I can see the message for my day. And that it's called me out from denominational systems. It's called me to the revealed Word of the hour. And I'm walking in the light. And I know that that blood that was shed for me. Oh, way back. Amen on Calvary. Think about it, friends. It will never. Did I say never? I say never lose its power. There's a blood for you today. If sin has come and sadness has whispered in your ear, you don't have to listen to that. Let that which was in you speak out and say, I see that crimson stream. I see it. The blood will never, never lose its power. For it reaches, amen, to the lowest valley. Amen. If it reaches to the highest mountain, flows to the lowest valley. Oh my. Will never, never, never lose its power. Stand this morning. If that voice is whispered in your ear and you feel like there's new hope has rose up. I need to hear that today. I need to know that the blood's still good for me today. I needed to hear it. Oh, we've heard the old story, but like it says, the old song says, but tell it to me again. I love to hear it. Oh, about Jesus and his love. Maybe you just need to hear that Jesus loves you one more time. Maybe it was right at the brink of saying, oh, I'll just throw in the towel, I'll give up. I'm tired and he just don't care for me anymore. And, oh, let me tell you, friend, he cares. He cares. Don't treat the perpetuation that way. Just say, Lord, I heard that you love me today one more time. I want to reciprocate. I want to tell you, Lord, I do love you. I'm sorry the way I've acted. I'm sorry the way I've felt. I'm sorry that I let things get in my mind. Oh, but I know there's a blood for me today. I accept that blood. I accept it by faith. The Bible says that God sent it for by faith for our remission. Oh, there's only one way to accept it. And that's by faith. Can you do that today? Oh, the blood that Jesus shed for me. Oh, way back on Calvary. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day. Today it will never lose its power. With all your heart now, for it reaches to the high. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, and it flows. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day and to day, it will never lose its power. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, it soothes the doubt and calm all my fears. Oh, it dries all of my tears. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day. Father, we just now commit these, your darlings, into your presence, Lord, and into your care. Lord, may they each find that place where they can reconcile and realize that blood was shed. That there's a blood for today, and that blood costs something. That it's a bleeding gospel, and it's a gospel that's dripping with blood, that's dripping with the blood of Jesus and with the apostles, the martyrs, Lord, and the missionaries, Lord, through the ages, and now it's dripping with the blood of the Savior of the second crucifixion. Oh, it's a gospel that speaketh better things. Oh, God, we ask you now, help us, Lord. Bless your children, Lord. We commit them to you. In that lovely and all-sufficient name of our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you, Brother Barry.
Sing. sing that chorus again. For it reaches the high. Sometimes it's just good to hear it again, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. White as snow.
White as snow.
Though my sins be as scarlet, Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Sing it again now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
White as snow. White as snow. Though my sins were as scarlet, Lord, I know. Lord, I know that I'm clean and forgiven.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's today's blood, not yesterday's blood, but today's blood. And remember now, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And wherever that blood is, wherever that life is, there is life. It isn't just an intellectual thing to say that, well, we've got the message and we've got, as Brother Dale said, but it's a living word in the hearts of believers. It's a living word. And the life that's in a created being, it expresses itself, doesn't it? It expresses itself. It proves that there's life there. It's a very real thing. It's a very dynamic thing, and it is changing, and it's growing, and it's producing something in our bodies. And I'll tell you what, today's blood is a very powerful thing, because not only does it change our life here, but it will actually change our body one day, until we get over on the other side.
Glory.
It'll actually change us, not just on the inside, but it'll change us inside and outside and get us to another dimension. Let me tell you, that's a powerful blood. And God did all of it. Remember, God did all of it because He loved you. He did all of it because He loved you. And that's a wonderful thing. To me, when you hear about this and when we're reminded of this, it's almost like God reaches down and touches you one more time and say, don't ever forget why I did this. I did this because I love you. And sometimes you go through life and you go through a week and you feel like nobody cares, nobody listens, and nobody understands. But yet God, in His mercy and His sovereignty, just reaches down and says, but I care. I cared a long time ago. I cared even before you got here. And I knew you'd need to be reminded of my love for you. And God does that. I'll tell you what, He cares. Let's sing that little chorus, I'm amazed that you love me.
I'm amazed.
Mitchell, turn him up. Me, turn him up.
I'm amazed how you came through your precious blood. I found pardon, and my sins are washed. They're all
said it one time. He said, you got to fight to get to hell. You got to fight to make to get away from God's presence for eternity. He says, you got to fight to get to hell. Because God's made it so possible and so within reach of all of us to claim the blood of Christ. It's a wonderful thing. I'll tell you what, I believe He loves us today. Aren't you glad for that? It's a wonderful thing to be able to be in the presence of a people who love Him and realize what He did for us. He has forgiven me. We're going to let you go this morning. And may the Lord richly bless you. Thank you, Brother Dale and Sister Joanne, for coming today. And may the Lord richly bless you all this afternoon. We have a couple of events that are taking place this afternoon. And then we'll have a service at 5. Been washed from His memory by the blood of the Lamb of Calvary. He has forgiven me. He has forgiven me. Yes, so my sins have been gone in His memory by the blood of the Lamb of Calvary. He has forgiven me. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time together again today, Lord, just to be reminded of Your great love for us. Pain that You bore, stripes that were inflicted upon You, Lord, the agony You experienced because You loved us. And now, Lord, to think about even today, that blood is still alive and still a powerful resource, Lord, that we can count on and we can trust, Lord. Something that is a living word in the hearts of believers, Lord. But nonetheless, something, Lord, that You paid for. And Heavenly Father, now today, may that word express itself, Lord, like it did in You. And Lord, may we show the right kind of compassion and mercy and love towards others as well. Have Your way, Lord, I pray, in every heart. We thank You, Lord, for Brother Dale and his wife, Sister Joanne, Lord. And I pray that You would richly bless them in their ministry and their journey. And Father, may You have Your hand upon them, Lord, and all that they set their hand to do. Bless our assembly, Lord, the many needs that are represented among us, Lord. We think of Sister Jackie Whitlock today, Lord, and Brother Steve up in Connecticut ministering, and all the others, Lord, that are relying upon You, Lord, each day for that touch and that strength that only You can give. We place them into Your care. We give our lives to You afresh in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And amen. Sing it again. His memory by the blood of the Lamb of Calvary. He has forgiven. Sing it as you go now. Yes, He has. He's forgiven. Sins have been washed from His blood.